I'd like to introduce our preacher this morning. We have with us the Reverend Dean Leander Harding. He's been ordained the year before I was born. He was ordained as a priest. I don't want to give away too much here, but he's been ordained 37 years. He started off in the Diocese of Maine, and he was 16 years in St. John's Episcopal Church in Stamford, Connecticut, before he got a call to be professor of pastoral theology at the seminary that I attended, and that's where I got to know him. Most recently, he's been doing work in the Diocese of Albany. I thought he was riding off into the sunset in this little country parish in Catskill, New York, but it turns out the bishop had and the Lord had bigger things for him, and he's currently serving as the dean of the cathedral in Albany. And he's a wonderful man, a wonderful priest, and it would be difficult for me to tell you everything that this man has done for me over the years, but delighted to welcome him, and most pleased to welcome him, especially to the pulpit this morning.
In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much, Father. I've been saying at the meetings that we've been having over the course of the weekend that one of the privileges that a teacher gets is every once in a while you get one of the students remembers you. You know, so there's an old joke about the five stages of an actor's life. You ever heard this? Who's Marlon Brando? Get me Marlon Brando. You know what we need? We need a young Marlon Brando, right? You know, and then, who's Marlon Brando? And a lot of young people here today are wondering who we're talking about. Right? So it's wonderful to be remembered. And I have followed Father John's ministry. He was one of our best students in the seminary, not only intellectually, theologically, but also pastorally. And I've followed with great interest what he's done since. And it's a great privilege for me to be with you here this weekend, to share this weekend with you. I want to talk this morning about the figure of Christ the priest, the high priest. Over the high altar at the cathedral, you've seen this image in a lot of places. It's the Christus Rex. So it's Christ with his arms outstretched upon the cross, but it's a risen Christ, reigning as king and vested in the vestments of a priest. And all of the scriptures that we've got today are talking about the priesthood of Jesus in one way or another. So a little bit about this image of the priest. What is it to be a human being? What is it to be a human being? What is essential about being a human being? What does it mean to achieve the full dignity, the full value, the full worth, the full joy, the full peace, the full satisfaction of being a human being? St. Irenaeus says, the glory of God is a human being fully alive, completely alive. Of course, he's talking about the one who is both the Son of God and the Son of Mary, who comes and lives the truly human life. It is to be a priest. This is the vocation that each and every one of us were made for. There's a great Russian Orthodox theologian, he's dead now, but he used to teach at the seminary in Crestwood, New York, in Westchester County. His name was Alexander Schmemann, and Schmemann said in a little book that he wrote called For the Life of the World, he said the reason why some men have hands laid on them and prayers said and are anointed and consecrated and set apart to be a priest is so that all the rest of the church will be reminded of the vocation to which each man and woman is called. This is the life for which we are made. This is the life of Adam, right? Adam and Eve in the garden, their hearts go up to God in love and praise and worship. They offer a sacrifice of, of thanksgiving and worship. Sacrifice is an acted out prayer. It is life poured out. That's what sacrifice is. And their hands go out to each other in sacrificial love and service. Well, and they turn away from God. They turn away from this life of human dignity. They turn away from God. When they turn away from God, of course, they turn on each other. So you get the two brothers right away, right? And they turn in upon themselves. And this is sin. I asked St. Augustine, what is sin? He says, sin is the human person incurvatus, and say, curved in upon him or herself. So how are we to break out of this? What is to be done about the Adam and Eve problem? How is God to restore us to the vocation, to the life for which we were made? You know, homo adorans, man, the priest. The human being, the priest, who gives praises to God. You know, homo sapiens, you know, man, the thinker. The Marxists say homo faber, man, the maker. But the distinctive human capacity is the capacity for the relationship with God, the capacity for a sacrificial love of the Creator and a sacrificial love for the creation, including our brothers and sisters. So how is God to restore us to this life? Well, he calls this man Abraham, and he says, Abraham, I'm going to make a family out of you, and through that family, I'm going to bless all the families of the earth, and I'm going to bring all my lost children home. You're going to do this for me. You're going to live towards me, and you're going to live towards each other in such a way that people will look at your manner of life, and they will say, surely these people know who God is. Teach us about God that we might also know him, love him, and serve him. They are to be, in the King James it says, a peculiar people. And I take great comfort in that the Bible says that we're supposed to be peculiar. So we have a precedent for how we are. You know, the great Southern writer Flannery O'Connor says, you shall know the truth and it shall make you strange. And Christians are becoming stranger and stranger in this world, you know. It's stranger and stranger. It's becoming strange now to be married. You know, to be married to the mother of your children is now an unusual thing. So how are we to be restored to this life? So God calls his people to himself, and he begins to shape them, right? He begins to give them a priestly formation. They're to be a peculiar people. They're to be a holy nation. They're to be a kingdom of priests. What do priests do? They offer sacrifice to God in praise and adoration, to each other in love and service, and they point to the presence of God. The Hebrew people are sometimes able to do this and sometimes not able to do this. So how are they to be reconsecrated? God sends Moses. They become slaves in Egypt, and God sends Moses to rescue them from that slavery, to lead them out of slavery into freedom, to lead them out of death into life. He brings them to this holy mountain. He gives them a holy and a righteous way of life. He said, you live this way according to these 10 words of life. You'll never be slaves again. He leads them through the desert. He feeds them with miraculous food. He gives them miraculous drink, as he does to us each Sunday. And he settles them in the promised land so that they can live this vocation that he gives them, to be a kingdom of priests. And he sends them priests and kings and prophets. Now, when they lose the plot and when they fall out of this priestly life that God has called them to as a people, how are they to get back in? Well, God appoints a means. He establishes a temple. He establishes worship in the temple. And he raises up priests. He has Moses anoint his brother. And there's a line of priests that come out of Moses. Jesus doesn't come out of that line. There was another priest in the Old Testament, Melchizedek. he's not hereditary. He's specially appointed by God. That's the kind of priest that Jesus Christ is. What does the priest do in the temple? The priest, so God said, here's what you do. You bring the animal, and the animal is killed. That's not yet the sacrifice. The sacrifice is the pouring out of the blood upon the altar. Because in the Hebrew understanding, the life is in the blood. So a sacrifice is a life poured out. And they're not trying to propitiate an angry God. God himself has given this to them to be the means by which they can come under, be baptized, so to speak, in God's mercy, grace, and forgiveness, and be reconsecrated as his holy and priestly people. There was nothing wrong with the worship of the temple, but the writer to the Hebrews tells us the better has come. The perfect has come. The priest that God has made perfect through his suffering. Why is it that he has to suffer? So here's God's problem. How am I going to turn my children back to me? How am I going to break the hold that sin has on them? This demonic intoxication that is the source of all the lying, stealing, cheating, and killing. How am I going to show them my power? How am I going to show them my goodness? What deed of power can I perform that will bring them back to me, but bring them back as children who freely love a father and not as slaves who cower? By sacrifice of love. In his whole life, he pours himself out towards us for the Father's sake. He pours himself out to the Father for our sake. He pours out his life of suffering and obedient love in the face of our resistance and our hatred and our desire, our perverse desire to prefer some other life than the life of human dignity for which we were made. And he stretches out his arms on the hardwood of the cross so that the whole world might come within the reach of his saving embrace. And by this immense sacrifice of love, which is just so the power of the resurrection, the eternal life that begins now and which the grave cannot hold, and which he breathes into us by his Holy Spirit, and which he breathes into us each week when we gather here together. So he is the great high priest, not a hereditary priest, like Aaron and his descendants, but like this mysterious figure, Melchizedek, who appears all of a sudden by a special ordination, by a special appointment. You are my son, this day have I begotten you. And he is perfected, Hebrews says. And the word there in the Greek has the word telos in it, which means the target. He's lived the life that we lost, that we need to regain. And he's bought it for us. He's paid the ransom. And now we're free to regain the life for which we were made, the life of dignity, of worth, of value, of meaning, of peace and joy, of love and service. So how are we to get this life? There are all kinds of answers to this. Some people will tell you if you say a certain prayer, you'll get it. Other people will tell you if you do enough good works, you'll get it. The way that you get this life is through the ordinary means of grace. The ordinary life of a parish church is the way that you get this life. You come to Mass. You say your prayers. You read the Bible. You go to a class when you get a chance. You go to confession. when you need to. You know what the Anglican saying is, none must, all may, some should. Something's on your heart is bothering you, come and see the priest. You partake of the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, which is the life of a parish church. You walk in such good works as he has appointed for us to walk in. Right? And it's just ordinary, but it's every day. It's hard to say how to do this, but somehow we have to become supple. We have to become pliable in the hands of God. We have to become supple in the hands of the Holy Spirit. There was a famous preacher, Daddy Hall, used to preach at. He was the rector of the Trinity Church Wall Street, and he was quite a character. He used to walk up and down Wall Street with sandwich boards on that had times of the services, you know, when all the stockbrokers were coming out. And he used to give a sermon, and it was a woman who was sitting in the front row, and she was a very proper, very stiff lady. And he looked down, and he said, "Madam, have you ever seen a mother cat carrying a kitten? You know, and the kitten is like that, right? The kitten is loose." He says, "Relax, let God get a hold of you." So I just want to leave you with this today, that we have a high priest whose purpose is to restore us to the priestly life for which we were made. He's not someone who can't sympathize with us. He knows how hard it is. He's been tempted in every way as we are, and yet did not sin. And the life that is in him and the heart that is in him is the life and the heart that he wants to give to us. And the way that we get it is by reaching out with both hands and taking in everything. And it's a lot that a parish church like this has to offer, including the ministry of godly clergy, like you have. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.